The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Let's go around the association to examine tonight's playoff slate. Let's get it. The Nets looking to finish off their gentleman sweep of the Celtics. Brooklyn's Big Three scored 104 points in four games, which is tied for the most by any trio in NBA playoff history. Denver and Portland battling for the series lead, with Denver hosting the Trailblazers, led by as many as 33 points in their Game 4 win, tied for the team's largest lead over the last 25 seasons. Can LeBron hold things down without Anthony Davis fully healthy? LA's 92 points in Game 4 marked the team's lowest output in any home game this season. LeBron has never gone home in the first round. LeBron spoke about his team stepping up in AD's absence.
Well, I mean, it's next man up. And obviously, if he's not ready for Game 5, it's going to be a tough blow for our ball club. But, you know, next man up. And we've been like that all year. And, you know, we're going to have to be like that in the hostile environment in Game 5. You know, these shoulders was built for a reason. And, you know, if it takes for me to put some more on top of it, then so be it. Win, lose, or draw, I'm ready for the challenge.
LA's 11-7 record in games with LeBron James and without Anthony Davis does not tell the full story. We discussed this a little bit yesterday. The Lakers were 1-6 in those games against this year's playoff teams, which includes a loss against the Suns teams. Comparatively, they went 10-1 against teams that didn't make the playoffs.
Carry on. Tell Stephen A. and Max to keep a cool booty while I address this situation, all right?
No, you finish
Max,
this.
That's
you,
Max. Stop. What Max telling me?
Stop it, Max. Stop it.
What, Max?
What are you talking about?
Calm down.
Hold it up.
He better knock him down. He's a professional.
Bro, put some respect on that man's name.
We lost our mind debating with you.
Yeah, you lost, all right. They want all this smoke. Carry on.
I need that big Perk energy in my life right now. Perk, the floor is yours. What's carry on today?
You know what it is, Molly. Game 5, pressure. And who embraces pressure? LeBron James. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to deliver in great fashion tonight. He's going to rise to the occasion. I get it. Chris Paul, Andre Ayton, and Devin Booker. But guess who's still the best player in this series? LeBron James. And Dennis Schroeder, he's going to elevate his game tonight. He had 20 in Game 2, 24 in Game 3. Andre Drummond went on a worldwide tour. For what reason? Came to Laker Nation? Because of situations like this. He's going to have a big night tonight. The Lakers are going to win Game 5 and 6 in Phoenix. Carry the hell on.
Well.
Nice face, Stephen A.
I think it's possible the Lakers win tonight. I wouldn't make them the favorites without AD, but we saw the Lakers beat the Suns late in the seasons with AD and without LeBron. You would think they could return the favor. However you slice it, I don't know if it's Game 5 or Game 6. This series is going 7 games. The series is going 7 games. There's too much on the line for Chris Paul and his legacy. Too much on the line for LeBron James at this point in his career. So it's possible the Lakers could steal one. They'd love to. I think they could win this series. But it's going to go 7 games, however you slice it, Stephen A.
You know, I really wouldn't have a problem with Kendrick Perkins if he said carry on. But when you say carry the hell on, it implies how dare you doubt me when you have given us plenty of reasons to doubt you over the last 2 weeks or so, Kendrick Perkins. I recall at least a couple of occasions
here we go.
That
Memory
you
of
said,
an elephant.
Carry the hell on, and then come to find out you were wrong. A matter of fact, don't you have errands to run for me when you get here in New York because you lost one of those bets? I think you do. So
I'm going to give you the laundry and say, carry on.
Exactly. You know what, Max? I'm going to get anything.
That was good,
Max. Anything that I have Kendrick Perkins do when he gets here, it's going to end by saying, carry on. That's exactly what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to say. Now, let me say this to you. I'm so confident, Kendrick Perkins, in what I'm about to say, that I'm going to give you an opportunity to get out of the bet that you lost that you owe me. LeBron James and the Lakers are losing tonight. They are losing. And if they win tonight, I will let Kendrick Perkins off the hook. He will not have to.
But what if they lose?
But if they lose, but if I'm right, Kendrick Perkins, and they lose, ooh, I'm a double up, brother. I'm a double up. I'm going to get you good. So I'm just, LeBron James, listen, without Anthony Davis, I watched game two of Phoenix that they won with Anthony Davis on the floor. That crowd was electrifying. Ain't no damn COVID there as far as those crowds are concerned. They were packed to the hilt, okay? They going to be in the building. They going to be ready for this. Now, I have no doubt that LeBron's going to be ready too. I have no doubt about that. I'm not putting this on him. I'm just questioning the level of help that he's going to have without Anthony Davis for this particular game. I could see the Lakers winning game seven.
Drummond's got to step up.
All right, yeah. But they ain't winning tonight. The Lakers fall tonight. They go down 3-2 to Phoenix. And LeBron James will end this evening on the brink of elimination in the first round for the first time in his career.
Are you taking that bet?
They going down.
Are you taking
tonight.
The bet? He's saying double or nothing on the bet. Are you taking the bet?
Well, Max, I was waiting on him to finish talking and finish yelling. All right, first of all, let me tell you something. I use carry on at the end of every damn thing I say, whether I tweet it or not, and my percentages are about 85% right, okay? That's the first thing.
Now, I said the hell. Thing. I said the hell. Carry the hell on.
Yeah, whatever.
Where'd you get those statistics, 85%? I like how you just pulled that number out of analytics.
I will say this. I will take that bet. I will take that bet. I'm taking that bet because I believe that the greatest, one of the greatest in your eyes of all time, is going to go out there and deliver in great fashion tonight. So I'm taking that bet, Stephen A. And by the way, I'm going to end by saying this. New York, stand down.
That's his law right there. You know, New York don't play till tomorrow. You could have waited till tomorrow to do that. They don't even play tonight. And here you are coming at me. See, that's that insecurity right there. You want to sit up there and take that shot at me. But that's all right. That's okay. Let me tell you something right now. LeBron going to drop 40 tonight. LeBron going to put it on him. LeBron's going to show up. I don't know if Kuzma will, Caruso,
need someone
Drummond,
to finish.
Kentavious, Caldwell, Pope, even though I like him. I like all of them. The point is, I don't know if they're going to show up tonight. Now, I think Anthony Davis returns at some point in this series, preferably game seven, if not game six, and they win the series. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you right now, they will lose tonight, most definitely. And they probably going to lose the series if Anthony Davis don't return.
Well, yeah, if AD doesn't return, they're going to lose the series. But this thing is going the distance. This is going too much at stake for all the biggest players.
Well, what if Anthony Davis doesn't return for game six at the Staples Center?
The Lakers will win either game five or game six. They are taking this. LeBron's not going out like that. LeBron's not going out.
I'm telling you, Lakers are not losing. KP.
Everybody stay still for a minute.
Okay.
I had to get a screenshot of this so when I win this bet. I had to get a screenshot of this, so when I win this bet.
Okay. Yeah. The Lakers will lose tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
They going to win game six.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. He said I was yelling. Let me modify. The Lakers will win tonight.
Please don't talk in that voice.
Then after that, the Lakers will lose tonight. I'm sorry. They will win game six, and then Anthony Davis will decide if they're going to win this series in game seven.
Okay. Out on the line.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I like the drama.
That's how it's going down, KP. That's how it's going down.
The young GOAT Patrick Mahomes has his eyes on the prize for this upcoming season. Here's Mahomes speaking on his record-breaking focus.
The only record I have my eyes set on breaking, which would be, it'd be new this year, going 20-0.
Okay.
You know, it's not really a record to be broken, I guess you'd say, but I think 19-0 is the record right now. So being able to go 20-0, be the first one to do that, that'd be awesome.
Oh, Teddy Bruschi knows all about this. There he is, him and his three rings. I know you love this subject. I saw you with Greeny earlier. You were fantastic. Let's go, guys. 20-0, quite the goal. A reminder that Tom Brady has, in fact, gone undefeated in the regular season, but obviously couldn't finish the job in the Super Bowl.
Big blue.
That was back in 2007. Teddy, what will it mean if Mahomes did one thing that you guys didn't do?
It's you say one thing. It's not just one thing. It's the mark that we all we all want to attain. Every quarterback, every player, every championship team talks about the one or two that they lost during the season, how it shouldn't have been, and possibly if something would have happened or fortune would have sort of been on their side, they would have had the undefeated mark. It trumps everything, Molly. Guys, that's all I'm saying. If he's in the room, and Mahomes already has a championship, so it wouldn't be just the one. I mean, that it would be the one that trumps them all. That's the way we looked at it going, you know, when we started to feel the pressure of being 14-0 and 15-0, when you start to acknowledge things and like let all the outside pressures in and make sure you're all on the same page within the organization, like, hey, we want to win all these and do not take us out because we want this mark. So the pressure with it is immense. I love Patrick Mahomes. I love how he's talking about it because I believe it can be done. I would like to see if it can be done. Do I think the Chiefs are the team that can do that? Absolutely. They have a chance. I mean, people think about the 07 Patriots and think about a team that just ran through everyone. But the second half of the season, there were four games where we were behind in the fourth quarter. And certain things had to happen. Either Bart Scott had to throw a flag or Rex Ryan had to call a timeout when we didn't get a quarterback sneak. I love you, Rex, but it was a good timeout. It helped us out a lot. But you need those types of breaks also. So it's attainable. It can be done. And I just love how he's talking about it. But if he were to get this, I mean, that puts him up there that with a championship that trumps all the others.
I completely agree with you because the bottom line is this. He's already recognized as one of the all-time greats talent-wise to have an undefeated season. I mean, think about it. And I mean, no disrespect to him whatsoever. But why do we still bring up the name Mercury Morris to this day? Because he was a part of that undefeated 1972 Miami Dolphins team. That's why. You understand? So we remember that. It's unforgettable. It would live in the annals of sports forever. We get all of that, okay? Only other thing that I would like to say is that one of my favorite highlights of all time was that Tom Brady, the Randy Moss touchdown pass against the New York Giants in the last game of the regular season. For this reason and this reason only. It wasn't the touchdown pass. It was the fact that the play before that, the exact play before that that preceded it was the same exact play. And so they threw it. Yep. It was an incompletion. And then the next thing you know, Tom Brady and Randy Moss went back to the same exact play. And I always remember that. I was like, damn. Obviously, they were 15-0. They were going for 16-0 or whatever. The Giants gave y'all a run for y'all money. But to go out there and to call the same exact play for the touchdown. No, I just thought that was something beautiful.
In the Super Bowl, people don't talk about this one.
Just as a different,
Giants
a different
fan
level of a thought process, too, guys. Yeah. I'm sorry, Max. I got to talk about it. There's just a different level of a thought process when you are going for an undefeated mark where, I mean, the pressure, it's so immense, and you almost embrace it. You welcome it. And even that play that you're talking about, Stephen A., okay, it didn't work, you know, whatever. Run it again. Just do it again. That's how good we are. And it's that type of confidence and that type of state that you get in when you know that you just can't be beat. Now, we didn't finish the job. Yeah, Big Blue, they got us on that day and everything. They were the better team. But still, it's a mindset that very few teams have the opportunity to even think about. because you got to at first, at least, don't talk to me till you get to double digits, 10-0, and then you start to feel it at 12. Then it starts to creep in at 14. Well, then at 15, you're just making sure. So it's like
the Steelers were 11-0. I didn't feel that way about them.
Yeah, right. Because you got to believe. You got to.
They were 11-0. I didn't feel that way about the Steelers last year.
Number one in that 07 Super Bowl. Yeah. I'll never forget, after the Giants scored, Randy Moss was streaking down the sideline and Brady took a shot at him. Like, you know, that I felt like that game wasn't over until I thank God that didn't work as a Giants fan, because you might have gone undefeated and won the whole thing. The second thing is they have Cleveland week one. That's a tough game. Like, we're talking about 20-0. They might be 0-1 after week one. Like, that's why 20-0 would be so amazing, especially the first year, 17 games and all that in the regular season. But I want to talk about something that we haven't touched on yet, guys. Brady is the GOAT. And the only – Mahomes has played three full seasons as a starter. And he's been stopped in the playoffs twice. Once in the AFC Championship game, where a pre-snap penalty on a Brady interception stopped that game from being over in Mahomes' favor. Right? Mahomes won. Yeah. Brady threw an interception last play of the game. Mahomes – oh, no, wait a minute. Pre-snap penalty. Brady gets the ball back, and Mahomes never touches the ball again. That's his one postseason loss. The next one was in the Super Bowl II, Tom Brady on another team. And not the Patriots this time, it's the Bucs. Tom Brady has stopped this young guy twice. And why that's significant is because Brady, as great as he is, when your eyes were on him, he never gave you a feeling, this is the best football player I've ever seen. He did it over time, doing it again and again and again in the clutch. But Mahomes, like Rodgers, gives you that, oh my God, like Dan Marino, I've never seen any. This is the greatest guy ever. And if he were to go 20-0, guys, and meet the Bucs in the Super Bowl again, and this time avenge the loss to Brady, right? Because there's a good chance that would happen too if he went 20-0. This is all crazy fantasy speculation. But guess what, guys? Mahomes is right back in the GOAT conversation, because he will have avenged the postseason loss to Brady in a perfect season. He has the foundation to build upon, to one day be considered the GOAT, even though he's lost to Brady twice in the playoffs.
Hey, Teddy, we only have like a minute left. Can I just ask you a question here really quick? I want to change the subject because it's been on my mind. I was thinking of it. Remember when Brady came out and said he would trade one of his rings to have that perfect season and have won the Super Bowl? Would you do that as well?
Yeah. Well, trade one?
It's. Or he said trade two. I think he said trade two. I'll give you one. He's got a couple on you.
Yeah, he's got six, but yeah, Molly, it's the one that I just don't forget. You know, it's okay. Plays that I remember during that game, and to have that one, it like I said, it trumps them all. Would I trade one of the others? Gosh, great teams, but yeah, that's the one that you want, and knowing that you were there. I mean, they're right there. Certain plays that you think of all the time. That's the one you wish you had.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Easily one of the biggest stories in sports right now is Naomi Osaka withdrawing from the French Open on Monday and announcing that she will take some time away from tennis after controversy over media obligations. Teddy Bruschi back here with us. And, you know, Teddy, some people are arguing that these media rules are antiquated with social media and all this stuff now anyway. Do you think athletes should be required to speak to the media after games, matches, et cetera?
The press conferences. Well, I do believe speaking to the media is a part of being a professional athlete. I don't know why it should be mandatory. I think the athlete should be given choices because of the way a lot of times the media is viewed within locker rooms. I myself personally felt when I was playing with the Patriots, you get done with a game and the game's not over yet. because if it's a loss and you're going in there, here comes some more opponents that are kind of, that are trying to get you in terms of, it's just how athletes keep themselves on guard, like trying to get me to say something that they will use in a, you know, in a unflattering light, if you will. So that type of philosophy is something that I always looked at, and always it was hard for me to develop trust, which I eventually did with a lot of members of the Boston media, but it can be very difficult. I understand what Naomi's talking about. Now, in today, especially after last year with the pandemic, I think that the option, one of them needs to be athletes having, if there's any type of anxiety towards it, the Zoom press conference, where the athlete has control right in front of a computer, being able to be in a more relaxed state. Because I absolutely think that there are times where journalists try to challenge you during press conferences, and that can put an athlete on edge, and all of a sudden there's an uncomfortable situation and it's out there and you can't take it back. Now, do I believe it's part of being an athlete? Absolutely. But in today's age, the individual feelings of an athlete has to be considered more than before, and they need to be given options.
Yeah, I think athletes should be required to speak to the media, and you have to take that with a grain of salt because I'm a member of the media. And so I have an incentive to say that. That doesn't mean consciously I'm telling you something I don't believe, but you will find that people usually, like, incentives shape their behavior and their opinions. And people can point to social media nowadays and say, well, like, there are other outlets, but I think it's good to have a more centralized kind of clearinghouse for the news, especially a niche sport like tennis, where casuals can go and be made aware of what's going on. That's good for the sport, because I know people might be thinking, but the sport is the thing, right? The media is just kind of the window dressing. But we understand the world through storytelling. That's what, like, the reason there is the money there is in professional sports is not simply because they're playing on the highest level. It's because people know the characters. They know it's at stake for the characters. They know the obstacles. They know, like, how great the obstacles are, the characters. They have to overcome their antagonists, that whole thing. The media is important for that, and I think leagues and tours recognize that. Now, in terms of Naomi Osaka, who I think did absolutely the right thing by saying, okay, if these are my obligations right now, I can't do this right now. I got to look out for my own mental health. We talked a lot in the first segment of this show, in the first hour, about this. And mental health issues are very important because they've been stigmatized. And a lot of times, as a result of that, people won't get help.
Yeah.
And also, Naomi Osaka, as an example, everyone admires. It's great that she didn't just say, well, I'm just withdrawing, and kept it to herself. She said why. But also, sometimes injuries, physical injuries, are hard to self-diagnose. Am I feeling pain, or am I just pain and I can deal with this? Or am I, in fact, injured and I shouldn't be playing, right? But mental, like anxiety, take anxiety, for instance. That's even harder to self-diagnose, because everyone feels anxiety, especially before something that requires very high performance in a competitive situation. There's a difference between just feeling pain and an injury. There's a difference between just feeling anxiety and dealing with an anxiety disorder. And I think that's also important for people to understand. And Naomi has, I think, brought attention to this in a very good way.
Naomi has brought attention to it in a very good way. And we already have expressed how we feel and how much we support her, because she was open and honest about what she's enduring. And you just want to literally and figuratively wrap your arms around her and give her the support that she deserves. Because let's remember, she's also a winner, 4-time Grand Slam champion, 23 years of age, and number 2 in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's already gotten this far despite everything, all right? She's that elite. But I want to transition away from her to address Teddy Bruschi specifically and what he had to say about athletes and talking to the media. Put me on the screen, because I want to see Teddy when I'm saying this to my brother, Teddy Bruschi, who I love dearly. You know, Teddy, when are we going to put on our big boy pants, per se, and also talk about, obviously, mental health? That's a separate issue, because we understand how important that is. But the athletes themselves that don't want to talk. Remember, in today's generation, a lot is about branding. A lot is about them protecting what they're trying to build. And here's my issue with that. Back in the day, you had cats that helped build these respective leagues, where the money then certainly wasn't what it is now. And if you lost something, you could lose everything because you didn't have a cushion, because you weren't allowed to build a cushion, because the revenue being generated for you specifically and for the sport overall wasn't then what it is now. So the cushion that you could build now, where you could lose your job and you've made tens of millions of dollars and things of that nature, that wasn't the case back in the day. You got cats, and I'm speaking NBA more so than NFL right now, Teddy. You got cats in the NBA that are making nine figures and worried about how something's going to affect their dollar. But the nine figures guaranteed. It's just that the stuff they after, they're worried about. And so as a result, everybody's treated like the enemy because anything that you say, people can take it and run with it. And what I'm saying is, how many times, Max, how many times, Molly, have we made assertions, allegations, accusations based on what we've seen, deducing that 1 + 1 = 2. We've been called liars. I'm talking about the media in general. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't have a clue. And then years later when they're writing books or when they're doing interviews or when they want to come and work in this industry, suddenly we were right all along, but we weren't about to tell you that. We see a lot of this going on. And so I'm only bringing that up to say that when you talk about talking to the media, it's an obligation you signed on for. You know it comes with the job. And you can talk about how people are going to get at you. But what's wrong with them getting at you about what you put on public display? If people challenge our opinions, that's because, damn it, we on television spewing it. So that comes with the territory. If you're playing in an arena and they're attacking what they saw, that comes with it. What's the problem exactly, Teddy? What am I missing?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing with athletes. Athletes are people that want control. And now what they're going to try and start to realize is that I can control how I talk to the media. I don't need to see you anymore. I don't need to be in a possible confrontational place where you're there, I'm there, emotions are there. No, let's cut that right there. I want more control. Talk to me on my laptop. That's how it's going to be. That's what's going to switch from this pandemic year through all those press conferences that we watched.
Or they might not
the
talk
digital
at all.
The digital background. I mean, audio is in and out, but the athlete feels like they have the control now, and you can't put me in a place, possibly, all right, with your demeanor or with your tone that makes me say something that I don't want to say. You're talking about people that want control, that have made nine figures, yes, and to have even more control about how they speak to the media is something that's coming next. You watch, it's going to be like
I press get you
conference,
on that, Teddy,
okay,
but
can
Teddy,
I do it digitally?
I get you on that, and you're absolutely right, but let's not act like it's because somebody's in front of them antagonizing them. I've seen dudes get attacked by a reporter simply asking a question. You really struggled tonight. You shot 2 for 20. What was going on?
I think also there is a possibility here that I think we have to recognize, guys, that the media is changing again and the way what we consider the norms and traditions are going to change. Once upon a time, Babe Ruth had a venereal disease and he missed half a season and everyone said he had a bellyache from eating too many hot dogs, right? Because the media covered athletes in a way that simply lionized them, that turned them into idols, that gave a very unrealistic view of athletes as though they were gods and heroic and weren't fully fleshed out three-dimensional human beings. And then a wave of journalism and journalists came along and said, let's tell the real story. And with anyone, there are ups and downs and highs and lows and good and bad and fleshed out the story as real three-dimensional characters. And it worked. People got very interested in it, and that became the norm, telling the truth. And the truth isn't always good. But, of course, the subjects of that kind of journalism don't always like that. They're like, I'm just playing a sport, living my life. Why do I have bad things written about me? And now, given the different technology and the proliferation of media and the control that athletes can have over their brands with social media and stuff, we may be entering a stage of new normal.
Can I say something?
That's different than we're used to.
Really quickly, because I just don't want to convolute two issues here and trivialize mental health at all whatsoever. Stephen A., I understand what you're speaking to, athletes that just don't want to deal with the media, don't want to deal with the heat, don't want to deal with the pressure. This Naomi Osaka incident
That's not that case.
is different. Hers is a different case when we're talking about clinical depression, when we're talking about anxiety disorders. And back to what Teddy said, and I think this is important. She is a superstar draw. I'm a huge tennis fan. I played tennis. The answer cannot be the number two player in the world not playing in the French Open. There has to be a better answer, a better compromise, because in 2021, she's coming out and saying, I'm dealing with depression and anxiety. So to Teddy's point, whether that's virtual or they come up with some other options, and Stephen A., you alluded to this before, maybe she didn't give them a heads up ahead of time. But now that we know this, we've had this incident, we have to come up with better options moving forward. So, because we do need to see her out there on the court. It can't come down to this. Take your racket and go home. That's just silly. We're all better than that.
Well, I agree with that. I truly do.
Well said, Molly.
Especially when it comes to Naomi Osaka. But in our society, we always have to concern ourselves because we're always reminded of and told we have to pay attention to precedent. And so what happens is that...
I'm sorry, you said pay attention to what?
Precedent.
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 Yep.
So what happens is that you're going to have people that look, maybe not at her, because again, she was open and honest about what her situation is. But you're going to have people that don't want to fulfill certain obligations, and you're going to have a sport league, an association, a governing body who's going to say, wait a minute, if we have these rules in place and we allow you to circumvent them, what does that mean for everybody else?
I think the,
and I'm saying that's just the challenge they're going to have to deal with.
No doubt. And I think, I think part of what you're saying, at least what I infer from it, is how much of what is actually necessary to play the French Open, like how much can you pare away until you get to essentially what you need? If someone can just play tennis, they can be in the French Open. If they're the number two player in the world, let's not make so many other obligations that as long as they can play tennis, that's the main thing. But what the event organizers are saying is actually talking to the media and telling the story of what's going on, that is also essential to what we're doing.
Go ahead,
we don't
Teddy.
Think we can it do is, this
what,
without
what's
that.
Also, what's also essential, now in today's, you know, the 2021 athlete is the overall mental health of the athlete. And when an athlete says, it's better for me if I do it this way, it's just got to happen now. It's just accepted more, and the athletes know this.
Yeah. I just want you to know, when the spokesperson Giles came out for the French Open and made his statement of what happened, he then left and didn't answer questions to the media.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Doc, is there anything that you can do coaching-wise? Does the thought cross your head at all to take him out of the game there?
No.
Why not?
You want me to take Ben Simmons off the floor?
No, I mean, I got to ask the question.
I will pass on that one. He's pretty good, so I'll pass on that suggestion. I didn't think he was scared of the moment. He just didn't make them. So, again, with Ben, we're going to keep him on the floor. Unless you guys want us to bench him the whole game. If anybody wants us to do that, just let me know. And then I'll know you don't know basketball. Ben is not a 40-point guy. It's not what he does. He does other things for your team.
Doc Rivers sounded like he'd heard enough on the subject of Ben Simmons shooting after the Wizards' defensive strategy turned to hack a Ben in last night's game. Simmons made one of two tries each of the final four times he stepped up to the line to end up 5-for-11. The Wizards took the win last night in their chance at the franchise's first playoff sweep in 36 years. Kendrick Perkins back here with us. Mr. Smith, I am starting with you, sir. Based on his comments, how much pressure does this put on Doc Rivers to win?
Well, I think it adds some. Let's not act like it's immense because he's succeeding Brett Brown. And we all know that Brett Brown, one of the nicest men you will ever meet in your life, who did a decent job for the Philadelphia 76ers, clearly didn't do it to the level that Doc Rivers is doing in Philadelphia in just his first year there. But the previous 7 years with the Los Angeles Clippers, he never got them to a conference finals. And that's one of the blemishes on his career. On at least two occasions, he lost a 3-1 lead in the postseason, including last year against Denver, which is why they decided to move in a different direction. Then you got to take into account the fact that he won a title with KP, with KG, Ray Allen, Rondo, and the crew. Won a title in 08, lost in Game 7 at the NBA Finals in 2010. But you look at it from that perspective, and this is what it comes down to. Here's why there's going to be some pressure on Doc Rivers, because everybody keeps harping about Ben Simmons shooting, and he keeps saying it's a non-factor. Well, if Joel Embiid ain't healthy, that's different. But if Joel Embiid is healthy, then we're going to look at Ben Simmons and we're going to say, okay, we're about to find out now, because with all the great things that Ben Simmons brings to the table and all the things that you say, what we're saying is in order to beat the elite teams and win the chip and bring the chip to the city of brotherly love, you got to make some shots.
Oh.
And that's what it's going to come down to. And that's where I think just a touch of pressure is going to come his way, because he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to support Ben Simmons.
Right.
And Ben Simmons is worthy of being supported because he's great. He just won't shoot a perimeter shot. And I think it's going to come down to that in order for them to have a shot to beat somebody like Brooklyn. Assuming Brooklyn gets past Milwaukee. We both picking it, but that's an assumption because, damn it, Milwaukee's coming.
Embiid's injury takes pressure off of Doc, because when you lose your best player, you're not supposed to be. No team in the NBA is going to win a championship without their best player. None, ever. It's just not going to happen, right? But you got to beat Washington up 3-1 because you have enough to do it. You got three shots at this, and Doc is known for blowing 3-1 leads. And it's been a hot minute since that Celtics championship. He hasn't been back to a conference finals. He has not advanced deep in the playoffs with some good teams. There is pressure on Doc to close out this series. You can't lose this series. But without Embiid, doesn't matter what he says about Ben Simmons, that takes actually some pressure away.
No, I think the pressure is on Ben Simmons. Without Embiid, Ben Simmons is an all-star, right? He did play in the all-star game where he was selected to the all-star game. So he has to step up. And they have to close this series out, even if they don't have Embiid. The pressure is on Ben Simmons to step up and deliver in great fashion. Okay, he has enough around him in the supporting cast when you look at guys like Seth Curry, Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey, right, who came in off the bench. Well, I don't know why Doc took him out the game and late in the fourth quarter, but that's another story. You have a center that could go out there and get you 12 and 15 rebounds in Dwight Howard. So you have enough to close out this series with Joel Embiid, and the pressure's on Ben Simmons, not Doc Rivers. Simmons have to deliver. Doc Rivers' job is to keep Ben Simmons on the floor.
All right, fair enough. Let's keep it rolling, guys. Got another one to get to. After taking a broom to the Miami Heat over the weekend, Giannis and his squad have quite the break as they await the winner of the Celtics-Nets series. Nets currently up 3-1 with Game 5 tonight in Brooklyn. Max Kellerman, yep. Milwaukee Bucks waiting on the Nets. Will that help or hurt them?
It's going to hurt the Bucks, and let me explain why. It's not that the Bucks will be any worse for it. They may even be better for it. But the Nets, by having that series extended, even if they lose another game to Boston, that might be good for them. Remember, when these big three got together in Brooklyn, the offense was immediately amazing. The defense took 2-3 weeks, and it happened much faster than I thought it would, to go from worst ever to actually they can hold it down. The Nets need a little time to start getting connected on defense. And a loss here or there in the playoffs that gives them a little more time actually is good for them. And in a zero-sum game, when two teams are playing each other, what's good for one team is bad for the other. So it's good for the Nets. It's bad for Milwaukee.
I think Max's position is utterly ridiculous. Every time you look at Harden, KD, Kyrie, you're praying nobody gets injured. Why would additional games be helpful to them? When you bring into the equation what a juggernaut they are offensively and the lack of a priority defense is for any squad that has D'Antoni's name on it, let alone him on a bench, the fact of the matter is that I think the more games they play, the more they endanger themselves with risking themselves to injury.
That's not offset by the defensive improvements over time?
I don't feel that way about them. Or in general, I would agree with your point. Not about them. They don't need to play games they don't have to play.
There's a risk, but injury risk, but now, defense, man.
Well, I think personally it helps the Bucks for the simple fact that we all know that Giannis was dealing with an injury towards the end of the season. So it gives him time to rest up, because we all know in order for the Bucks to beat the Nets, that Giannis is going to have to be close to 100%, if not 100%. Also, it helps them with preparation. When you look at it, they get a chance to scout and watch film, watch a lot of film on how to guard these guys, what to dissect, how they playing defense, and how to dissect this Brooklyn Nets defense, which is not hard. So it helps the Milwaukee.
Watching
Bucks
film just going to get them depressed, Perk. What are you going to watch? You're going to watch film of the Nets offense? You're just going to get depressed. What are you, how to guard them? You can't guard those guys.
We're about to find out.
Yeah,
great to have you with us from your Mediterranean mansion. That was wonderful. It was great to have a therapy session. Thank you, Naomi Osaka, for speaking out.
Carry the hell on.
Thank you for all hanging out with us. New York, stand up or stand down. Goodbye, guys. We'll be here.